This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the weekend show. I hope all of you had a good week. It's been another busy week, especially for markets. A lot to talk about and a lot of company updates that I highlighted throughout the week. I really appreciate, again, all of the feedback that I get from all of you in terms of companies that you like, companies that you have questions for, and also individual questions for some of my guests. I'm kicking off this weekend's show with Jeff Christian, managing partner at CPM Group. Now, Jeff, we're going to take a forward-looking approach on a number of different commodity sectors in this interview. Let's start off with precious metals. Look, gold and silver, especially gold, a bit more so than silver, have been really in a corrective phase ever since the highs that were reached at the very beginning of August. Gold continues to follow this general downtrend that it's been in. Let's start off with gold. What's your assessment of this correction that gold is in? And a comment that gold and silver have really underperformed the broader commodities markets.
Well, you know, gold's in a consolidation phase more than a correction. I mean, yeah, the price peaked in August. It's come down. It rose back up. It got up to $1,962 on January 6th. It's come off and it's consolidating again. We're a little bit concerned that it could fall again, sharply in the near term. There's a reduction of uncertainty, economic and political uncertainty, with the change of administrations in Washington. And like it or not, you know, and there's the long-term issues, which is that you might have a more robust stimulus program, more government spending on infrastructure, more government support of individuals and small businesses, and all of those factors combined could be long-term bullish for gold because of the debt that will be taken on by the government. But on a short-term basis, there's a reduction of uncertainty, and you seem to have a more stable government in place now than we've had in the last few years. We might not have 30,000 lives by the president over the next 4 years. And so there's a reduction of risk. And I think that that makes gold and silver a little bit vulnerable as, you know, risk hedges, that you could see some short-term price weakness. That'll be offset by a lot of people looking at the divisions that have come to the surface and other issues and the seasonal strength that you typically see in gold and silver in the first quarter, you know, the first 3 months of the year. So our expectation has been that the price sort of consolidates over the course of 2021 into 2022, moves modestly higher, most of the strength in the second half of the year. And that still is our view, pretty much where we think gold's going.
Okay, so Jeff, you're not alone to say that stimulus, government, easy monetary policies, and central bank easy monetary policies, those are some of the longer-term fundamental drivers for the precious metals. But in all fairness, even in the last couple of weeks with this new administration, we are hearing more about a stimulus bill out of the U.S. government. Doesn't seem to be having the market impacts, especially when it comes to, let's say, the precious metals. Is that because this is simply just priced in? So for the precious metals to benefit from stimulus, we need more of it, another package?
I think you will see another package. I think that another package is kind of baked into financial asset prices right now. And also, I'm not sure that, you know, a stimulus package is particularly good for gold on a short-term basis. I think on a longer term it is because, you know, you've seen this explosion of government debt and you see this enormous deficit spending over the course of last year. I mean, we were over $1.1 trillion deficit before the pandemic. Now we've got like a $3.7 or $4 trillion deficit, not, you know, debt, but deficit. And you know, the CBO was hoping for an economic recovery in 2021, 2022, which would take that down. But the reality is that the recovery is going slower and is likely to go slower than a lot of people thought, and that there's going to have to be more stimulus, and that means that it's going to be a larger deficit and a further increase in debt. I do think that a lot of people in the financial markets see that as long-term problematic, but not necessarily catastrophic, in that they realize that the U.S. economy and the U.S. government do have the capacity to deal with this in terms of economics, if not in terms of political control. You know, so I think that's sort of a break on gold rising and the expectation that all of this has to be catastrophic, despite what you hear from the gold promoters.
Okay. Now, Jeff, let's drive down into some of the stocks then, or a broad comment on the miners, the gold miners. They have been selling off as well, kind of hand in hand with the fading in the gold price. But we have to expect that these miners are going to be making some nice profits. The product that they're selling has gone way up in price over the last 2 years. So their finances have gotten better, but the market or investors still seem a little bit distracted by other sectors. Why do you think that is, that the underlying majors, the producers, are fading?
I think there's a couple of factors. One is, as you say, you know, investors are looking at other sectors that have a more immediate positive reaction to monetary stimulus. But in addition to that, I think one of the things that we've seen for several years, and I think we're continuing to see, is any number of institutional investors and high net worth individual investors and even retail investors have kind of turned off to the gold mining sector. And they'll say you'll hear these guys say it. You know, it's not my comment. I'm just the messenger. You'll hear these investors talk repeatedly about, you know, yeah, there should be this enormous profit margin. And you look at the financial statements and it looks like there's this enormous profit margin in the gold mining companies, but it doesn't necessarily show up in their profits and their dividends. And a lot of times what these companies seem to do is reinvest at the top of the market and acquire other companies. So there seems to be a continued disinterest in the largest gold mining companies on the part of investors, because they just feel that the management has not managed its exposure to gold prices as well as it should have.
Final comment then regarding silver. Silver has been moving a bit more hand in hand, at least on some short-term trading aspects, with base metals. We'll get into base metals shortly, but in terms of silver, what do you see as the main drivers right now? Is it precious metals demand, or could it be base metal, industrial uses that could help support a higher silver price?
The answer is yes. I mean, you know, the prime factor driving silver prices higher is investment demand. But one of the factors that you're seeing in the investment demand is this, you know, I've often used the term that silver is schizophrenic, you know, in that it's a financial asset like gold, but it's also an industrial metal, an industrial commodity, and the vast majority of silver goes into industrial commodities, industrial applications, fabricated products. And one of the themes that you're picking up in the silver investment community is, hey, silver's looking good. You have had strong demand. You did see a decline in silver use in electronics and silver use in solar panels in 2020, but that was due to the economic recession and the lockdown, and that those were cyclical things. So one of the things that you're seeing is that investors are more interested in silver. A, it's undervalued and it has underperformed gold, so it should play catch-up in some people's minds. But B, it's also this industrial metal and it's this clean energy metal.
All right, Jeff, we're out of time for the radio on this segment, but I am bringing you back on next segment, and we will be chatting base metals. Everyone, stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, last segment, Jeff, you and I discussed some of the nuances within the precious metals, mostly gold and silver markets, as well as some of the other factors we need to be aware of that are driving those prices. In this segment, I do want to look at the base metals. Copper is trading at almost a decade high. We have to go the whole way back to the tail end of 2012 to reach some of these copper prices up around that 370, 380 almost level. This has been a very impressive run by copper ever since that washout in March on that whole selling event on the back of COVID. What do you think about this whole environment that just continues to push copper higher?
Well, it's the same thing that I was just talking about with silver. First off, yeah, 2020 was a bad year. There was a sharp decline in fabrication demand, in mine production and secondary recovery for a while. And there was a reduction of industrial inventories because manufacturers who would have working inventories of copper reduced those copper inventories in a cash preservation mode. So 2020 was a bad year for copper, and now you're coming out of it. So you've got fabrication demand starting to recover. You've got fabricators rebuilding those inventories. And then you have the same factor that I was talking about with silver, which is you have investors looking at copper saying, this is a metal that's going to recover. It's integral in construction, in transportation, in electric transmissions. So copper should have strong demand going forward. And the move toward electric vehicles, the move toward greater electrification and decarbonization of the energy complex all probably suggest stronger copper markets, fabrication demand, and therefore copper prices. So you've got investors coming back into copper strongly, and part of it is based on the expectation that energy and industrial demand will be strong.
What about the whole supply side here when it comes to either copper miners or some of the smaller copper explorers? I've been on record saying, look, there's a handful, if not more, companies that have these de-risk copper assets, but they're just going to take a couple, at least $1 billion to build. And, well, they take time to build too. Is that or should that be a focus for investors, or is there another sweet spot when it comes to the underlying stocks in the copper sector that you think could catch some investors' attention?
Well, I think there are a couple things, and you know, I don't look at the copper mining stocks as much as stock investors look at them. But I think there are a couple things, and one is, as you say, yeah, you know, copper mines are much larger, much more complex, much more expensive, and much more time-consuming to bring online. And investors know that. And that's one of the reasons why I think you see more interest on short-term investors on futures and options and forwards in copper rather than in the mining companies. But another thing is that a lot of the major copper-producing companies are really diversified metals companies. So it's hard, you know, the good old days when you had Newmont and Phelps Dodge and Kennecott, and these were copper companies, and they had byproduct metals, but they were copper companies, you know, 60, 70, 80%, sometimes 90% of their revenue came from copper. And those kinds of companies have transmogrified themselves over the last 40 years into polymetallic mines. So you say, well, okay, who are the big copper producers? Rio Tinto, you know, RTZ or BHP. And you start saying, well, actually they make more off of coal and iron ore than they do over copper. So you don't necessarily have the kinds of pure copper plays on the equity side that you used to have. And that then factors into the idea of investing in copper futures and options rather than the equities.
So when we look outside of, let's say, the commodities sector into some of these other markets, which ones do you think have the biggest impact and need to be watched the closest right now when it comes to investing in commodities. There's a wide range of options here. We could look at the U.S. markets, but there's also the bond market with yields rising. I think that's a pretty important distinction. And also this U.S. dollar, which has bounced but continues to look fairly weak. What's important for commodities investors to follow?
So my son, who is a polymath, criticized a video I made a few weeks ago where I said, you know, that in my view, interest rates are probably the major factor driving price valuations, not only for gold and silver and copper, but for all financial assets. But yet, if you look at the statistical correlation between, say, changes in real interest rates and changes in real copper prices, it's virtually zero. And he said, you know, Dad, statistically, every statistician in the world who heard that was laughing at you because you can't say that something is the most important factor if it has a zero correlation. And I said, well, it has a zero correlation because the relationship is so complex. But I do think that interest rates are very important. You know, the dollar is obviously important, too. But what we always say about the dollar is that we think the dollar and gold and copper prices are reacting to the same independent variables as each other. So, you know, yeah, gold and copper react to the dollar. The dollar rises, copper falls. The dollar falls, copper rises. But to some extent, the rising and declining prices of dollars and copper are actually reacting to interest rates and other factors and expectations of industrial demand and economic output. I do think that interest rates are very important. You have seen some increase in interest rates in the course of the first two-thirds of January, and those have been correlated, you know, they've been accompanied by a sell-off in commodity prices, but the sell-offs have tended to be relatively short-lived, partly because people think that, okay, while there are upward pressures emerging on Treasury bills and Treasury bonds, the reality is that there are countervailing pressures and that the Fed and other monetary authorities have a tremendous interest in keeping interest rates low. So that while there is upward pressure on interest rates, which is kind of nerve-wracking for commodities-oriented investors, it's not as nerve-wracking as it might be if it weren't facing these countervailing headwinds from, you know, the Fed wanting to keep rates down and other factors.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important, I think, to continue to follow along with what the central banks are doing. And right now they're just talking a lot, but we'll see what their next move is. But it is important, I think, to note what's going on with yields, whether you like it or not. But we all agree that yields can't get too much out of hand on the upside with all this money that's being put into the system. Jeff, thanks for your time, buddy. We're going to wrap it up here. Great having you on the weekend show. I look forward to chatting with you in probably another month or so. But in the meantime, have a good weekend and have a great rest of January there, Jeff.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News.
Republican senators showing reluctance to convict President Trump in his upcoming impeachment trial. It would take 17 Republicans to join all 50 Democrats to convict Trump, but CNN reports only a handful of GOP senators may vote to convict. Some say holding an impeachment trial for a former president is unconstitutional and divisive. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, though, saying yesterday the trial can bring us together.
We all want to put this awful chapter in our nation's history behind us. But healing and unity will only come if there is truth and accountability. And that is what this trial will provide.
The trial is set to start February 9th. Biden's immigration policy leading to a lawsuit. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filing suit yesterday after Biden announces a 100-day stoppage of deportations. Paxton claims this will put the state's citizens and law enforcement personnel in danger. This is USA Radio News. The president targeting the poor in his latest COVID relief actions. President Biden yesterday signing two executive orders, one expanding food assistance, the other calling for stimulus checks for those who don't make enough to file taxes. Biden says how we respond to this crisis is a reflection of our values.
We cannot, will not let people go hungry. We cannot let people be evicted because of nothing they did themselves. They cannot watch people lose their jobs, and we have to act. We have to act now.
Biden sharing a grim COVID forecast yesterday. He says the U.S. could have another 200,000 COVID deaths. That would bring our death toll to over 600,000. Biden says there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months. Meanwhile, a key member of President Trump's COVID task force revealing the toll the job took on her. Dr. Deborah Birx tells CBS she always thought of quitting. Instead, Birx announced this week she's retiring. The full interview will air tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these last two segments, I am joined again by Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world, and also writes a retail-focused newsletter called In the No Trader. And again, Rick did just start up a piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs. Now, Rick, you and I always jump around to a number of the major markets and sectors, but the first comment that I want from you really just deals with all this news and information that we're getting about these markets and the valuation metrics around individual stocks and the broad averages that are quite frankly astronomical. You can look at even some valuation metrics, even for something like Tesla, and the trading value that it's at compared to its earnings, it's mind-boggling. This ties in with a bunch of tech companies, too. Really across the board, we're hearing valuation metrics as being in, we need a new word for bullish territory with how high they are. What's your takeaway from hearing all these metrics about how overvalued the markets are, but they seem to just keep getting more overvalued?
Yeah, Corey. Well, I would say Tesla's in its own little category because I think the people who buy Tesla are simply buying Elon Musk and his let's say, his geniusness, and the thought that in the future this guy is just going to keep producing new and innovative ideas. Otherwise, you can't justify the price of Tesla as a stock by itself. So it's a cult type following. It sold off sharply last year at one point, but you know, it came back strongly. It's up some ridiculous amount in the last 8 weeks. That really is kind of one of those one-offs. But let's just think in terms of the broad market. The S&P is 3850-ish. Another kind of flat day today. So you had Friday, you had Intel and IBM slump. IBM was down, I don't know, 10% or so on the day last I looked. But you also had some Fed upward revisions to fourth quarter GDP. So, you know, you kind of got some balanced news out there. But to me, I really look at the market and I say, look where it was on the sell-off last March, down to, what, 2,200 or so in the S&P, and now we're at 3,850. And the rebound was clearly fueled by the Fed, and we know it now to the extent we should have, and most of us missed the degree at which the Fed's influence was going to have on last year's market. But I would say that where we are now, we are basically priced for perfection. And that's fine as long as things come out pretty darn perfect going forward. The stock market's a forward-looking mechanism. It's priced as if things are really going to be strong in the future. None of that is based on anything going on in the world now because, along with last year, COVID continues to be a major issue, but the market has seemingly overlooked it, and the Fed helped that happen last year. But I get concerned about when something's priced for perfection, you kind of need perfection down the road for it to be the right pricing. Otherwise, we're overvalued. And given how much the market has moved up and where some of the signals are showing up on the models that I look at, I'm not aggressively buying stocks up here, especially ones that are making new highs. I'd rather buy stocks that more that I put in the value camp and recently made lows and maybe are breaking out of some chart patterns off of lows. But, you know, I'm not going to chase after some of the key components in, let's say, the QQQ, you know, the NASDAQ 100 or some of the big S&P names. I do think over time the market can still make its way higher. So for investors, I would remain long and hold my positions. There's been no weakness to get us out of that per se. But as far as more trading-oriented people, and I don't mean day traders in and out, but just people who are swing traders or looking to put on stuff for a few months, it is a tough thing to chase after the performance that we're seeing now. In fact, this past Tuesday, when I did my weekly podcast for StockCharts.com, I talked about the difficulty of chasing after markets that are screaming to the upside. And I even gave strategies on how to play it. So for those of you out there who are interested, you can go to YouTube and pull up my name or in the No Trader, and you'll come across, you know, this past week's podcast. So you can get some strategies on how to kind of chase and play that game. But I don't think that's the best way to play right now. I would go more towards the value names. And here's the thing that I'm most concerned about. If the Democrats don't get a stimulus package passed and Biden's almost $2 trillion attempt and what he's proposing, I don't think is going to come close to passing. I think the early weakness in today's Friday's market showed that. And that's my concern, is if the Democrats don't get their act together and do a much more reasonable stimulus package, You're going to lose any of the Republicans that might have swung towards the Democratic side, like Susan Collins of Maine, who today pretty much said this, you know, this deal is silly and I can't vote for it. At which point then I think the S&P is vulnerable for a few hundred point decline, not because it's going to break the stock market and turn everything around and, you know, this is the peak, but just simply because we're really priced for everything to go well. And as I said, nothing's going well now. And I don't see, there's no proof that things are going to go well in the future. There's hope they will, and investors are hoping that things will materially improve. But given that we're still probably not at the worst point of COVID for this winter, and that new strains are coming that maybe the vaccine isn't going to do its job against, I mean, there's still so much up in the air that up here, happy that I'm long, happy that I'm making lots of money, happy that my portfolio is at the highest level it's ever been as far as, you know, total net worth. But I'm not taking any idle cash I have and buying up here. In general terms, I've been telling my institutional clients that in round numbers, I can see the S&P peaking between 3,800 and 4,000 in the early part of 2021 before we get some type of pullback. So that's kind of how I'm playing it.
All right, Rick, there's a lot to unpack there, but I am getting this generally mixed vibe from some of the sectors that you are liking right now. Some of them definitely do benefit from an economic recovery or restart, but you also outline that you think that is going to be much more difficult than it seems like what the market and the broad investors are expecting right now. Now, obviously, a lot happens week to week, month to month, especially during these COVID times, but this overall optimism in the markets is quite noteworthy. I am having you back on next segment. We're going to further unpack some of these push and pull factors that you have outlined, and we're also going to get into interest rates as well as commodities and the U.S. dollar, because those have had some pretty interesting moves already this year. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Rick Bentino.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tea Club's original Pure Pound Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Rick, I want to start off this segment by discussing interest rates. We have seen rates on the long end especially continue to rise. We might have seen a bit of a topping just this week, but overall we do have the Fed meeting next week, and we don't know what the Fed is going to say, but the comments being we can't have much higher rates in the U.S. because of all this stimulus that has occurred, not just in the U.S., but globally. Where do you land on seeing the market reprice the long end in terms of rates, but understanding that the Fed isn't expected to do anything in terms of increasing the rates that they lead to the market?
Yeah, so the short end of the curve probably stays close to zero. The Fed's told us it's likely to keep that way through 2023, so I have no reason to think that there'll be any material change off of having virtually a zero-type interest rate policy on the short end. The long end, look, in the last several months, we've moved up from 60 basis points to, you know, right near 110 now. So it's almost doubled in price. On the high tick, it virtually doubled in price over the last 3 or 4 months. And I could see that continuing. So I expect the yield curve to continue to widen. There'll be pullbacks along the way, but I don't think we go back to what we saw a few months ago, such that when you see yields pull back and bond prices rally, sorry to say for bondholders, but I just don't, you know, if you're a pension plan, you need to own bonds. If you're an insurance company, you need to own bonds. If you're me and you and the average guy, after 30 years of bonds acting and giving you tremendous annual performance, I don't think it's the time to really be owning bonds anymore. So I would take advantage as an individual investor of using moves in the price of bonds higher to kind of get out of them, just thinking that rates are likely headed higher over time. I think in the U.S. we showed that they're not going lower than where they were last summer. So I think it got down to 40 basis points or so, 0.4% as the low. And, you know, we've shot back up over 1%. So if we pull back into the 90s or 80s, I'd probably take advantage of that. I just don't think we're going back down under 60 basis points again.
How does this all carry over then to commodities and the dollar? Commodities broadly have been rising. The dollar has been under pressure, but it has bounced off of the recent low. But in terms of commodities, you also look at the precious metals, and those have been in a bit of a correction even as we have seen this higher inflation data. How are you balancing out the two?
Yeah, so the dollar, I think I mentioned this perhaps the last time we spoke a month ago. Coming into 2021, the biggest consensus macro trade on the street from Wall Street strategists and economists is that the dollar would be weak in 2021, and meaning weaker than it came into the year, and considerably so. And that concerned me because I was getting closer to downside exhaustion signals in the dollar, and they are actual place that I recommended clients cover a good portion of dollar shorts using the dollar index as the benchmark was at 89.23, and the low of the whole move was 89.20. So literally 3 pips away from the low, and now we're at 90.21, so we're essentially 1 full point higher. And I'm looking for a dollar bounce here that continues simply because the street is so short the dollar. And if interest rates do start moving higher, even above where we are now, that should help the dollar too. And it may be the only place in the world you actually can get some true yield. So I think the dollar actually can bounce more than it's already done. And I think anywhere from this year's low at 89.20 down towards kind of 87.5 or so is the likely place that I would rein in the almost all of my dollar shorts, believing that the street is notorious for getting the dollar wrong when they come into the year with such consensus of what the dollar is going to do. And I'll give you an example. The last time this happened was in early winter 2016, right after Donald Trump had won the presidential election, the dollar soared. And again, the biggest macro consensus call on the street is that the dollar would soar in 2017. It actually peaked its very first day of trading in the year and sold off for the balance of the year, closing almost on the low of the year. So Wall Street got it 100% incorrect. And they may very well have done that again this year. So at least from a tactical point of view, I'm bullish the dollar up to maybe 93 to 94. Then I can reevaluate and possibly put on more shorts or not. But down here, I kind of just don't love betting against the dollar. And if we do get any further rally in the dollar, you'd have to expect that to affect other commodity prices. So another big call out there is that commodities are going to soar, and that we're starting a whole super cycle for commodities. I'm not there on that call. I can see why people are thinking that way, but that would assume the dollar would have to really plunge, and I'm just not there yet. So no surprise, gold peaked in August last year. It's been able to do nothing since. Back in 2011 when gold peaked, I think the front month futures contract, the all-time high was $1,924. So with gold at about $1,850, we're still under that all-time peak, which means that you could have a double top in gold, and it's a long-term one. Now, From basic technical analysis, you can't call it a double top yet. We haven't sold off enough to define what last year's high was as being a true secular high. But I tend to be a contrarian, and right now the amount of bullishness on gold and bearishness on the dollar has me somewhat concerned.
How about for base metals then? We've already talked about kind of your general economic outlook, but with all this money being printed and with this new Biden administration, we're hearing more about infrastructure bills, and we are seeing some of these so-called critical elements and minerals get bid up, as well as copper, quite frankly, right, just getting bid up. What's your outlook there? You're also, I'm assuming, seeing maybe a bit of a slowdown in that upward momentum?
We are. We're actually short copper at almost the high print of the whole move, 373, and it got to just a little above 373. So I'm actually short copper right now. It's trading 360, just shy of 362. So we're up a little bit, a few percent on it. I'm looking to cover it down somewhere in the upper 340s. So I'll still stick with it. I have no risk on the upside versus, you know, potential to make, I don't know, 8% or so on the downside. So I'm going to stick with it right now. Again, the metals, especially copper, is priced for perfection. It's priced that China is continually going to be a buyer. They're the world's biggest buyer. Look at the chart of copper, and you might, if you took the scale and the prices away, you might think you're looking at the S&P. It has moved virtually identical to the S&P since the March low last year. So it too is saying tremendous recovery coming, global demand for copper to be, you know, very strong in the future. It traded from under $2 in New York at its lows to now 362. Big, you know, move. And I just think the market, even the base metals are ahead of themselves right now. I'm long some of them in my own account, for instance. I've been long XME, which is an ETF that's a base metal ETF for a couple of years already. So it was a little early on getting in, but you know, it was kind of an investment over time. And I'm long at, I think, 26, so it's trading 34.5. I'm doing fine on it. But right now, would I be buying it? No. Would I be buying copper? No.
All right, Rick, we'll wrap it up there. It's always great having you on the show, buddy. Sorry for all the commodity bulls out there to end on that note, but hey, Rick has outlined what and why he is thinking that way. And you know what, Rick, you have been pretty spot on throughout our conversations all through last year, so I put a lot of credence in what you have to say. Rick, everybody else, have a great rest of your weekend. I thank you all for joining me. I will be back at it Monday morning. Please, everybody, keep those emails coming. Fleck@kereport.com. Have a great weekend, everyone.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.